Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, 6.30, it's the Legends back again for your delight. You want to talk to the boys, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. They're both in the studio tonight with myself, Steve Hoversall. We're here for the next hour on Radio City and Radio City Talk. Many thanks to Connor on Radio City Talk and Scotty Hughes on Radio City 96.7. Both those boys are back tomorrow. Now, we're expecting the Blues probably to take centre stage in tonight's show. The young boys were brilliant yesterday, weren't they, Sharpie? You must be over the moon with that display.
Yeah, great result. You know, against a side that's going and the money they spent and the side going for the league title. I thought City came out and probably the better team for the first 20 minutes. Had a couple opportunities. I thought we were fortunate to get away with. I thought it was a penalty. Raheem Sterling getting pulled down with Robles. Could easily have been down to 10 men then, but you know, referee never saw it or got it wrong, whatever you want to look at. So we rode our luck a little bit there. But once the first goal went in, you know, it settled us down a little bit. And I thought we played really, really well. I thought we were aggressive and our tactics got about them. And obviously scoring the second goal when we did. You know, it was a massive goal, the second goal, so early into the second half. But even then, you're thinking, this is not finished. But to get the third goal and then obviously wrap up with a dream debut for the young lad to get the fourth goal. Fantastic day at Goodison. But
hey, that was a good finish, by the way, from Ademola Lookman, wasn't it?
Yeah, good finish. Yeah, he walked on, like, and he's only a small guy in comparison to Yaya Toure. It was like, wow, it could have been his son. You know, there was a massive Yaya Toure and a really small Lookman. But listen, he took his goal very, very well. But I would have to say, away from the Everton angle, and you're talking about City, very, very, very disappointing. There's a team with no heart. There was not Joe Hart, but no heart. no Boto, big player. I thought De Bruyne was good for him. But the written Silva was his usual self. But Yaya Toure, massive disappointing. And defensively, all at sea. So for a team that started the season in incredible form and look as if they're going to run away with the league, nowhere near it for
me. They show some great togetherness, Everton.
Oh, yeah.
They roll the sleeves up and they battle early on. And you've got to match them teams, haven't you? You've got to overpower them. Yep. And I think Everton done it well in different... All right, they had a few little things happening with balls across the face of the box. But all in all, they're coming out of every battle second. Man City, Everton got amongst them. You know, the young kids as well and... what a great result.
Which just makes you think, why don't they do that every week? That's probably what the cause will ask tonight.
He's trying to get that performance like that every week, where they're aggressive, they're in their faces, they were closing down, they were hungry, they were compact. And I know young Tom Davis is getting all the headlines, and rightly so, he did really, really well. But Gareth Barry, you could see he was like made up because he had the legs as well round about him, and Tom could do all the running. Gareth still intercepted things and used the experience, but he had the knowledge that Tom Davis was there as well. And as soon as he lost the ball, they all came back and got compact. And listen, City, especially Silva and De Bruyne, have the balls for long times, and you have to be patient. But I thought the energy levels, especially from the young boy Davis, were exceptional.
I was listening to Ronnie Goodless coming in and commentary. Brilliant piece of commentary he shouted there. Young Davis, he reminds me of a young Gunter Netzer. Remember Gunter Netzer? West Germany with long, flowing blonde locks. It was great commentary, actually.
You never know, they might start selling wigs outside Goodison, sort of blondie wigs. There was a strange thing, just before we talk more on Tom Davis, Liverpool, myself and you were at Anfield yesterday. Yeah. A lot of people came to watch the Man United game there. Strangest thing, watching everyone cheer Everton goals inside Anfield.
They were
absolutely over the moon. The Liverpool headlines for you, though, you were devastated, weren't you, at 1-1?
It was just a little bit like a loss. You know, they battle so well. We can play better going forward in the final half. Of course we can. You know, especially when Coutinho come on, we looked a different team. But the fact that I didn't think they looked like scoring. I just, you know, okay, he He threw on lump hammer, didn't he, Fellaini, last 15 minutes, and he went like Wimbledon of old, just pumped Everton forward. And as Sharpie said, OK, it worked. No class amongst that. You know, that's the way he wants to go. It's fair enough if he gets him a point, and he's happy with that. And the Man United fans are happy with that one, then that's OK. But not the way Klopp plays football. You know, he's got a bit of class about him, and the argument... When Herrera tried to get Firmino, that was, do you know what, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
We'd one of them at Goodison as well with Lukaku.
You know, if you'd ever want to play football again and snap someone, that Herrera's top of the list.
You wanted to snap everyone watching that game. And we'll also talk about your love of Martin Tyler in about 10 minutes' time.
He's good, man. Martin. He's a good man, mate.
He's all right, but I tell you what,
John wasn't having it. Right. He's biased. Okay, Tom Davis got an awful lot of headlines today, so we thought we would keep in our beloved agent.
Are you singing?
Neil Zhang.
I'm getting slaughtered because I put the mic on my knee. They had problems with it before, and these two are slaughtering me on my debut on the Legends as well. Can't believe it.
He's holding it
put
like
it down, tools, and get off.
I know he's going to sing.
You want a song?
Yeah. Like one of those old-fashioned mics. Who did it? Frank Sinatra?
Yeah. Hey, listen, like I did a song. This will have been 1989. Apprentice turning pro. Slaughtered a few of the lads. Oh, Sharpie. Fell out with me, didn't he?
Who?
A few of the lads, I'll tell you afterward. Right. But we slaughtered a few of the... No, slaughter, bit of banter, bit of stick given. Sharpie wasn't happy. Not happy.
Really? Doesn't remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't remember it. You're going to have to reveal all off air. Right, let's talk about you, lad. You look after Tom Davis.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Yes, I was Tom after the game. Was that beyond his wildest expectations?
Typical Tom. I mean, yeah, beyond his wildest dreams to do that. And I think when he drops to his elbows, you could see that little bit of, you know, that he was shaking his head. That it's just that it's the euphoria of it. What do you do? And it was really weird. Like a couple of weeks before, we'd been out for a coffee and a chat. We had some stuff that we needed to do for him. And I said, what's next for you? Then he said, starting games. He said, and that goal. He said, I have to score. I said, and what's the shout when we score then, big fella? He said, I don't know. I said, well, think about it. Because you don't want to score in front of tens of millions of people and not have a clue what to do. I said, so think about it. And I just think that was off the... His passion to do well was evident when he dived into the crowd and all that sort of thing. People might say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. No, load of rubbish. 18-year-old kid scores his first goal in the Gladys Street end, and the manner in which he scored it, he's got every right to go bonkers. So
did he get booked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think his agent should have told him, let's just be careful. I think it's bad advice.
Some referees, though, honestly. But that's what you got about referees. Sometimes you can get really peeved off with them. Like, usually, now, see, he's a young lad because it's fair. Just get him away and say, come on, behave yourself.
Exactly. That's it. Me. Exactly. But, you know, after that, he's not one of them who'll go on and talk about his performance. He won't sit down and dissect it. We celebrated, both our families went out, we had a nice meal in town, and he's just...
Did you pay for it?
I did, to be fair.
I'm not having that.
No, well, listen, honestly, I did.
That's a first.
No, just to say, I don't think that...
No.
Because he's doing really well, I don't want him to feel like he's got to pay for his own family, for me, and for... Not about that, so it was just a celebration, because I said to him, you've got to celebrate, and I said, and afterwards, I said, you know, when a minute past midnight comes... It's game head on again. That's gone. You know, you've got to now regroup and go, okay, well, why was it great? Let's understand why it was great. Let's replicate what made me great on the day and go from there. So, funny, after the meal, we were having some coffees, and I said, what's the turn? You watch? And he said, 11:31. I said, 29 minutes, and then, you know, it's back in the game. He said, okay. So we're still celebrating. And then, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later, he said, what time is it? He said, 8 minutes, Sang, 8 minutes, and then my head's in the game. I said, it's 5 on my watch. Drink up, we're off.
It's the right attitude,
and you know what? Yes, and that's it. And
he's had
his moments in the sun. He celebrated. He spent his whole youth working for that moment. These boys will tell you. They'll remember their debut goal.
What did Ronald Koeman say to him after the game? Did he tell you?
Just said outstanding performance. And he's not one of them of... he'll give him a nod. I think he gave him a little no and nod and said outstanding performance. But he generalised and said all of them. And he was talking about the level that they reached in that, particularly in the second half. Was out of
that's
this world.
That's what he's been wanting to do since he's first come in. And people said he should have played him earlier. He'd done really well. Lindsay speaks very highly of Tom in the 21s when he plays. He should have been given a chance earlier. It's got to be a time, the right time to put the youngsters in. So Koeman's not daft. You know, people were giving him criticism, but he knows the right time to do it. And he's done it now. The boy's shown what he can do. You know, there's still a long way to go, as Sangi says. There's a long, long way to go, but what a start. You know, and the good thing about his goal was the way he ran from his own half, and then the trick to get him in between two City two experienced City defenders, by the way, and then he's get pushed down on his backside. But how many times have you just seen after a long ball? Can't be bothered here.
Lots of players stay down.
Or rolling around and trying to get somebody, but trying to get a foul. But as soon as he went down on his backside and the balls went in to Ross, he's got up again right away. And then the finish was like exquisite. You know, a Doug Leash finish against in the European Cup. Was it Bruges who played there?
Yeah.
A little dink over the goalkeeper. Fantastic.
Great awareness.
Fantastic.
You know what I think, looking at it, you know, the manager deserves massive credit, because it would have been so easy to play Schneiderlin.
Yes.
In front of the young lad, you know, coming. He must have thought, I'm not going to play you. Mm. You know, and all of a sudden the manager said, you've been brilliant, you're still playing. Mm. And that's great for the squad, because Schneiderlin now has not got straight into the team. Mm. And it just makes everything about it, the squad, you know, in the dressing room.
There's a lot of food
great
for thought now, isn't there?
Super management.
Nothing's guaranteed, is it?
No, there isn't, because, you know, everybody was raving about Idrissa Gueye, and he's going to be at the African Cup of Nations kind of thing. And then they're bringing in Schneiderlin, Gareth Barry in there, and I thought Gareth Barry, as I said earlier, was excellent. So, and James McCarthy came back on and played the last 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was. So right away now, you've got real, real competition. Mm. And the lad is in there in merit. And as John says, you know, he could easily have went, listen, easy way out here is like, you sit and watch, I'll put the new signing on, I paid 28 million, whatever it is, you know, just sit and learn. But he hasn't, and his performances have warranted him to stay in the side. And that's, as a kid, and listen, Sangi knows, there'll be times when his form will dip, you know, as all youngsters are, but he's at the right place and he's learning. He seems a level-headed lad. He'll learn from that and kick on. You know, he shows what he can do.
Yeah. Right, we know how greedy strikers are, and you nearly weren't celebrating a goal with him last night. Now, we had this argument in the office with these two, because me and Big Dave...
I think
it's outrageous that Romelu Lukaku was trying to sort of get a nick on that goal. These lads said, oh, no, strikers, that's what you do all the time. Mm-hmm. You really go for it. He'd have been devastated with that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, of course he would. But, you know, I think the lads are right. Any striker would have gone and done that. I don't think Lukaku was going to have the presence of mind to go, oh, Dave has just ran 70 yards, done a great job. You know, little dink, 18, first goal, Gladys Street, tell you what, I'll leave this. It's not happening.
Yeah.
The fact that he missed it, I just thought was really fitting. Because it was a freshie, because he has tried to stick it in. Mm. And there's one camera angle, I don't know whether people have seen that, but Lukaku runs away pointing to his own chest. Mm. That's the bit I'm frustrated with. No, you didn't touch it, so don't claim it.
Mm.
You know, going for it, strikers will do that. They'll make sure. And you know, if Otamendi covered, because Otamendi was bumped by Lukaku, if he doesn't get round and get that, and Otamendi gets a foot on it, Lukaku gets a rollicking for that. So, it's understandable. He didn't get on it.
Yeah, that's right. The only disappointing thing, you know, when it happened, I said to Graham Shute, I said, Lukaku's out of touch of that. Then we saw the replay and went, no, he's not. But the disappointing thing was afterwards, he was still claiming it. And you think, no, you're not. He says, you haven't touched that.
It's out of order, that.
You haven't touched it. So it's the young guy's first goal. And you could see the delight, and not just in Tom's face, but all the players were delighted for him as well. The same as when the young boy Adamola Lookman scored his goal as well. You know, great to see the kids come on and score goals. But it wasn't just his goal. It was his all-round play was top draw. His pass that set up the first goal, you know, down the sides, was a good forward pass. I think when we've seen Tom before, we probably haven't seen enough of that. We've thought, you know, what is he? But he showed against Man City that he can go forward, he can get forward, he's got energy and abundance to get forward, but he's also got the chance of threading passes through, and I thought his first pass to Morales was excellent.
Mm. I take it you two never got booked, did you, when you scored your first top flight goals?
No.
No,
well, he could do what he wanted.
He's done all sorts, jumped into crowds and everything. The referees had a bit of nouse about them. They went great, some of them, but they actually had some nouse about them.
All right, let's just cross the park and talk about Liverpool and young Trent Alexander-Arnold. So again, a young player playing in a massive game yesterday. He had one frightening moment, but overall, I felt he did okay.
He did well. You know, he just got to learn by it. The one mistake, it was nearly costly. He slipped and fell over the ball, and they went up and thankfully, it came to nothing. But you just learned by that bit. I think the fact that Marshall got brought off tells you something about how well he played. You know, first half, Marshall had a couple of good runs at him, got past him on one or two occasions. But in general, he kept him. He dissed a player. I think it cost Man United the best part of 50 million. You know, he kept him quiet. You know, and we've been watching him for quite a few years now, for the under-18s and such, and he's always impressed. He's always impressed us.
Right, thank you very much indeed. Sangi, pass on our congratulations to Tom.
Will do, thank
wonderful
you very much.
Playing
you're
so
meta. That might stick.
Yeah. Would he like the idea of blonde wigs outside?
Yeah, well, you know. He's that cool and calm, collected. He'd embrace it.
Wait, all right, lovely. 7:15, Radio City Legends, 4720967. We'll take your calls next.
Call now, 0151-472-0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, 7:10. We'll get into your calls in just a moment. Just a quick one. Myself and John were at Anfield yesterday, and John was signing loads of autographs. Everyone was in a line, and this lady walked up to us. She was possibly, I don't know, 55. And she got out her phone and showed it John. And she said, here's a picture of my husband's coffin. Yeah. Now, John at this moment in time went, what? And now this coffin, you wouldn't believe it. She was great. She was lovely. She didn't mind us talking about it. Yeah. She said, if you want to talk about this on air, it's fine. Her husband had been buried in a coffin that was in Liverpool colours. And what did it say on the side, John?
Had the crests and all that. And he said, as he was getting lowered down, he said, I'd rather be here than at Old Trafford.
Would you believe it? She chuckled, didn't she?
She
thought it was a lovely lady, but oh my goodness, the lens.
It was red, the cotton was all red and white, and it was, and he got buried in a Liverpool shirt and all that, so.
Lovely to meet and everyone else yesterday. Right, let's get to the phone lines. First caller we've got up on the Radio City Legends tonight is Steve in Garston. Welcome along, Steve.
You know, like, lads, I always know me laughing at that last comment there about that coffin. That's funny, that, honestly, God. Tom's typical scouser, I just can't imagine all that. Oh, funny. Listen, obviously, like, from a Liverpool perspective, the game yesterday, most Liverpool fans before the game would have took a draw because of, like, you know, the insane hysteria, you know, press about Man U, how good they are and all that, this amazing London on. You know, we were no longer going to finish in the top four, according to the press. So we had all that by whatever, like. And obviously, as the game pans out, we had quite a few good chances to kill a game off, which we didn't. Okay, like that, right? But what I can't believe about the press, not the national press, is that, like, no one's really talking about how bad the referee was. I mean, their goal for the start, their equaliser for the start, like, Valencia was at least 2 yards offside. Mm-hmm. Rooney's, like, leg breaker on Milner was a red card all day. Herrera, I mean, he could have easily been sent off there, because that challenge on Firmino was a yellow card when he pulled him back. And then, if I stand to be corrected, you get, like, a yellow card for simulation. And when Firmino pushed it, he went down as if he'd been shot in the head. You know what I mean? Like, so he should have been booed. That should have been too. And Popke, the worst one was Popke, I thought, on Henderson. When he
didn't see that, did he? That was shocking. That was absolutely shocking.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, you know, and United, this season especially, they've got away with so much. And I said before, like, that's the reason why they're in so much debt. Because they must have paid millions to the referees over the years. No, say, look, let's face it. David Ellery, Mike Riley, Albert Webb. You know, the fella the other day for West Ham, when what's the name should have been sent off? Phil Jones, when the West Ham guy got sent off. Mike Dean, sorry. You know, and the referee yesterday, it was an absolute disgrace. But the national press, they haven't mentioned it. And they were going on saying, oh, you know, Klopp, he got a tactic strong. You know, we burnt out with all the ends. I mean, unless I'm blind or something, like, we had at least 2 chances, but right near the end to win that game, when Alden won, when he just literally scuffed.
We actually had 4, Steve, because when Alden had 3, and Firmino had 1. Now, it's hypothetical, but if you got Manny there or someone who's... It's game's done and dusted. That was the most frustrating part for me, because the way we played it well. Whenever we got the ball, they always looked like they were dodgy at the back. When Coutinho came on the pitch, they didn't know whether to stick or bust with him. And all of a sudden, we were opening them up. Now, if that would have been a couple of years ago, now it's like a technical bit. Suarez, the game's over. You went 3-0, 3-1.
Of course.
And that was what really, you know... chances we had...
Oh, yeah.
The finishing was very poor. It was really poor on the 4 occasions when they were very, very good chances.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm just frustrated with the referee. For like, I mean,
I agree.
We did miss some chance, okay, but they're equaliser.
But I was flabbergasted that he gave us a penalty to be cut. Only that he was plain to see.
Stevie Wonder had seen that, you know what I mean? It was a stonewall penalty, but like, that's the reason why we got it. But the referee, to me, you know, no one mentioned it. He cost us them 3 points. If we got 3 points there yesterday, we deserved. 4 points behind Chelsea. Chelsea's going to Anfield. You don't know what's happened. But we've been here before.
Sometimes you do feel aggrieved by whether it's biasness. I don't know, but obviously the one at Sunderland, that was never a free kick, which led to the penalty and goal. And yesterday, hopefully it works, swings and roundabouts, you know, between now and the end of the season. But you're all right about them. They've had so many things go the way in the last couple of months. Since Mourinho got signed and died, since he's come back, they've got some extraordinary decisions. The Rooney challenge, I don't know whether he meant it, but it was awful. I don't know whether he actually meant it or he didn't. But you know,
Sharpie, was that a red card, the Rooney challenge?
Looking at it again, yeah, I agree with John. I don't know if he meant it. It's the England teammates and all that. I'm not sure. Rooney, 10 years ago, I would probably have said, if he's lost his head. I'm not sure now whether he meant it, but it was a bad challenge. It was a really bad challenge.
Just let me give you this assessment. The Graham Poll's done a review of the referee in today's paper here. And he says, Michael Oliver produced a top-level performance. The 31-year-old wasn't fazed and was nigh on perfect with every call. He says, on 90 minutes, Ander Herrera pulled Roberto Firmino back by the shirt. The Liverpool man retaliated, but the official refused to be conned as Herrera fell holding his face, seeing Firmino had pushed his chest.
But you know, that is, and what Steve said is quite right, the referees have got a hard job. See, these players, and I've seen so much of it lately, who fall and they try to con the referee. If he's just started to give them yellow cards for doing it, like that Genazar did a week for Sunderland, he'd done it 6 times, didn't get booked. Book him straight away and he won't do it again. He'll get him out the game. They'll stop doing it.
But hold on, who's seen that old Graham Paul?
Oh, well, he was crap as well. He's the one who booked 2 players in the final. Was it a player twice and just kept them on?
Could have been,
final.
His final line in here is, the only clear error was an assistant who missed that Antonio Valencia was marginally offside in the build.
That led to a goal, marginally, BME. He's offside. But the one at the corner, Henderson, I'm not being funny, how could anyone miss that?
That was a shocker.
And that was a yellow card as well. So I can understand Steve's frustration. You know, I don't think he was quite as bad as...
Was he frustrated, you know, Steve? I don't think so.
I think he did tend to give the home team a lot more than what he deserved. And the linesman as well.
You can sleep easy tonight, Steve. Mm. Just a quickie, who was your top man in a Liverpool shirt, Steve, for the game?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I thought Lovren was great at the back. I mean, that was like another decision. I never mentioned that yellow card they got. I mean, it was a great challenge.
Yeah.
Was it Martial? Was it done like the other time, Swanak?
Yeah.
That's something else that I mean, so I thought he had a good game. I thought Mingley yesterday was, I know Mingley's had like a lot of stick lately, but since he's come back and he's done it with Brad Jones and he got soft, you know, he really does like, you know how to handle pressure because like he's had so much stick like lately. And now, I mean, I can't think of any Liverpool fan anywhere he would drop him. I mean, he shouldn't have been dropped in the first place as far as I'm concerned, because I thought, you know, he's almost got that sort of like, or he's not quite top class. He's a great shot stopper. But, you know, he comes out with some silly errors sometimes, like coming for crosses and all that. But I thought overall, Mingley has a good game. Yeah. I thought...
Henderson.
You know, Henderson to me. Do you know what? If someone had said to me 2 years ago, Henderson would be the first name on a team sheet, like you'd have said. But you know now, he really is. We've missed him to them games he's been out. He's, you know, that man, his engine on him, man. I'll tell you something, now he's in... He's one of the best players in the Premiership at the moment.
He's our pivot now. Everything goes through him, you know, and he's the one that makes his take. When he gets on the ball, Lalonde can then now go and look for the space and he'll try and find it. He just links everything all up for us.
You know what, John, as well? He's so modest. I mean, I actually met the guy absolutely. One time at a service station. I was going up to Carlisle and he was there with a couple of people like and all that, and he was massive like in real life. And this when he first signed for, he's so modest. And lovely guy to speak to, like autographs and all that. As all the Liverpool players are, I mean, you know, like, as you say, I think the whole team yesterday battled the talk. Firmino, when he bought Origi off, and he put Firmino in the middle. Now, what I think Firmino, to me, has missed Coutinho so much, because before Coutinho got injured, Firmino was banging him in left, right and centre. Since Coutinho's been out, he scored one goal and he struggled and he's worked at it and he kept going. But as soon as he took a league off yesterday, he put Firmino,
I'd have started with Coutinho personally, Steve. I would have started with him, but the manager knows more than what I know, because Origi really disappointed me yesterday, you know, on the ball. He worked hard, but on the ball, he really disappointed me. The difference when Coutinho came on was chalk and cheese.
Steve, love your energy. Thank you very much indeed. Got to move on. Thank you, pal. Bye. Take care. Oh, I tell you what. He was like...
Rattled on there, didn't he, flipping it? Where's Steve, the producer, is he, brother?
Yeah. The producer's just in conversation with Sangi. He's down tools.
He's watching the Everton goals again in there.
Honestly. Oh, we better,
when you're ready,
we're gonna
Dave,
get some,
yes.
We're going to get some blues on in the next part of the show. We're going to a break. Just very quickly, a couple of points from the week. Was that the best goal of the Premier League season, Andy Carroll's? Have you watched it?
I haven't seen it.
No? Overhead kick? 63 miles an hour?
Fantastic, yeah.
12 yards out? Sharpie's denying
this. I think
it was like my one at Goodison, that.
What, from 2 yards?
Newport County. Oh. It's the same sort of goal. I'm going to get that one day.
You haven't even seen it?
I'm going to get it, show you it one day. You should have remembered it, Charlie, because you played in the game.
I think we did, because we couldn't believe it. It wasn't 2 yards out. I thought it was a fabulous goal, but I don't know. I still think the ingenuity of Mkhitaryan might just pip it. It was a fantastic strike from Andy Carroll. Great strike, but I think Mkhitaryan for me.
For a big man as well. 6 foot three and he does that overhead kick. Yeah. You've got to see it. I'll show you in the break, John.
Yeah,
okay. It was just unbelievable. Right, plenty more to talk about. We'll do that in a moment or two, including Matip, already retired apparently from Cameroon duty.
Crazy.
But apparently can't play for Liverpool. Some now saying Liverpool will risk playing him against Plymouth this weekend. Midweek, I should say.
So what happens if they do? Well, you can only find them, can't they?
We'll talk about that in a moment or two. It's the Radio City Legends. Stay right there. 4720967.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
5 minutes past 7 o'clock. Let's squeeze as many callers in as possible. Blue or red, 4720967. And well done to Tranmere at the weekend and the FA Trophy as well. Let's start with a blue. It's Steve, who's in Birkenhead. Hello, Steve.
Evening, guys.
Nice. Hello, Steve.
Evening, Greg. Well, we never seen that coming, did we?
No, we did not. They'd taken a draw before the game.
Well, yeah, I said that to you last week, right, when I was on. That if we got through the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, there'd be something in it for us.
Yeah, I think the second goal, Steve, is the most important one. I think getting the goal so early in the second half kind of settled us down a little bit. Obviously, even then, I turned around and said, this ain't over yet. And obviously, the third goal, when it went in, that was it finished. But no, hats off to the lads. They did really well. More like a performance that Koeman's been wanting to see.
Not just Koeman, right? The fans, yeah. I think hopefully yesterday Koeman took something out of the game as well, but he realises what it means to Everton.
Mm.
I hope he had his Everton moment yesterday when he heard the crowd and he's seeing the reaction of the crowd with Davies' goal. You know, it was stuff of dreams to the boy, but, you know, it was one of those I was there moments, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was incredible. The young boy Davies scoring, and also the young boy Lookman as well, you know, a dream for him. But no, listen, still a long way to go, but I'm just thinking what they've done yesterday is what he's expecting them to do every game. So the next game away at Crystal Palace, who are struggling for points under Allardyce, you know, that'll be a tough game, but Everton need to show the same passion and commitment, and if they do, you know, they'll win the game again. You know, it's up to Everton now. They've already showed him, you know, that's what they're all about. So they can't just have one decent game, one bad game or whatever. They need to have consistency in their performance. If they do, you know, hopefully we can secure that seventh spot and maybe get a European place.
Bit of luck, hopefully, but it's imperative we finish seventh, the best of the rest, as they would say.
Were you surprised, Steve, that, you know, when you got to the game and you looked at the lineup, did you think Schneidlin would play?
I did. I thought he might have dropped Barry, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was surprised Barry started. I never thought he would drop Davies because, like you said yourself, he's warranted the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Barry, I don't know, worked out perfect, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, McCarthy coming back into the fold as well. I thought Morales played his best game for a while. Looked a danger. So all round it was decent. It was great to see the two young lads scoring. But I thought young Davis's goal was exceptional. I thought the skill, you know, to get in between the two City defenders was outstanding, and he finished it really, really well.
Brilliant stuff, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to shift on. We got Frank in the Dingle. Evening, Frank.
Evening, boys.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Yeah. To be honest, just ringing about. I agree with John yesterday about Origi, but I tell you what, the lad does work. He puts a shift in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to Southampton Wednesday. I'm not kidding you. Sturridge for a semi-final. He just was like a statue, absolutely static, doesn't move, doesn't work the line. I mean, he might as well have been sitting next to me in the stand. And the thing is, as well, the difference yesterday was Liverpool had an out ball. When Sturridge is playing, it's like a training ground exercise. It's going back to side, out, back. And you know what? It's so frustrating to watch. And you look at him. He's holding hands with the centre-half. And the Southampton lad gave him a little dig. And then he goes, one point, he went that deep. He was like a right-back.
You've took the words out of my mouth there, because as a centre-forward, you've got to lead the line. You've got to play in the shoulders of the defenders and look to get in behind. When you're playing in front of them, they'll have that all day. You know, when you're getting balls in behind them, in between the fullbacks and them, they hate it. But then what Daniel was doing, he was coming into midfield, he was going to right back, it was all off. It's no good. You know, and there was no real leadership because Henderson didn't play to say, get up there, work, you know, stay up there, we'll get the balls in the right areas for you. You're never going to score back there or over there. And we need him. Well, Mane is out. We really need Daniel the next 4 weeks, whatever it is, because Senegal could go all the way to get goals for us, you know, because he has got the class. He's the best striker we've got on his day. We all know that, you know. So we do need him. Origi he frustrated me yesterday because it looked like he was playing with no confidence. He had no belief in himself. But you're right, he did work hard. You know, he ran all over the place. But you need more. More quality than that. And yesterday, if we'd have had a little bit more quality, I think we could have won that game very comfortably.
But you know what, John? They're all singing off the same hymn sheet.
All the players
are putting a shift in.
Yeah, absolutely,
in.
Now, absolutely. Yeah,
at the end of the day, I'll put my services. I'm a driver. I work for Pinnacle Electrics. I can get a plug. And let's try and plug Sturridge in. And let's see if that livens. But I'd sell him. Mate, honest to God. Because they're all singing off the same hymn sheet, and his body language, his persona is all wrong. You can see it on the pitch.
Well, that's what a lot of fans have the same agreement with you. But you're right. You look, the way we nullified Man United, it was a team effort from the goalie right up to the centre forward. They all grafted and put in, which you've got to anyway. You know, you should do that in every single game. But, you know, they had a proper goal. There was nothing left on that pitch between them all.
But I don't know, Frank, if you saw, somebody said to me they'd had an interview with Sturridge before the game, in the run up to the game, and the way he was talking, it was like, I'm the best striker here, I know I'm the best striker here, you know, it's something. It's like that attitude, like it comes across as if to say, well, I don't have to do anything here, kind of thing. And somebody said to me it came across bad for him. Instead of getting his head down and say, I'll show him the best striker here. When I get a chance, I'm going to run my socks off here.
That's what you've got to do. You've got to prove it on the field, you know. And Frank's right, against Southampton, he's very, very disappointing. He really was, you know. But I'm sure he'll play at Plymouth, you know, along with Coutinho and, you know, one or two other main players. And you've got to start doing it, you know. You've got to start scoring goals. Easy as that.
Nice one, Frank. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to do our look who's scoring before we get to the next caller. Gary's just hanging on for a moment or two. Here we go. Now, Sharpie was trying to cheat in the office.
No, I was not.
Before you arrived, Dave was one of the questions.
I know he's born in 1972.
Yeah, there you go. He's already got the clues.
Did you see the clues?
What did he say? I wasn't cheating, but he knows the clues.
He was born in 1970.
Right, here we go. He was born in 1970. So he's the same age as me. He's 44. Here we go. Yeah. Spent 11 years in England with two different clubs, with a spell in Spain, in between. So 1972 he was born, 11 years in England with two different clubs, and a spell in Spain in between. It might just be an obvious giveaway straight away. Any ideas, boys?
Spain.
No? Nothing quick into action for you? Madrid.
Thierry Henry.
Who did you say, sorry?
Thierry Henry.
I never even knew it till you've told me.
No. It's wrong. That was a correct one. It was actually wrong. Sorry about that. Right, 4 points. Winner of one FA Cup, one League Cup, two La Ligas, two Champions League crowns as well. Who is this man?
European Champion League.
Yeah, he's won two Champions Leagues.
And an FA Cup and League Cup and what else?
Two La Ligas as well.
Marcel, no.
Who?
No, I was wrong. No, just
that was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it?
That's it for yourself. Really. Right, 3 points. 37 games and three goals for his country. 37 games, three goals for his country. One of the teams he played for was Manchester City. Any closer, either of you?
Not a bit of silver.
I think you should. As soon as you hear this name, you go, oh, of course.
It's all right. You've got the clues in front of you.
Yeah, but you cheated before we came in. 2 points. Scored a goal in the Champions League final in 2000. Come on, rack your brains. Do you remember watching the Champions League final in 2000?
Steve Manor.
Come on, what's happening?
Yes!
Unbelievable. Just kept you hanging there. Love
is a burning thing. We won that.
Enjoy that. For one point, his first club was Liverpool. Great guess there, John.
Was it Valencia he beat in the final, was it?
It wasn't.
2-0, Real Madrid beat Valencia.
It was a cracking goal, wasn't it? It was Valencia, 3-0, yeah.
So that was the 3 points, or was it? Or?
2 points, but you've actually
greedy.
You've gone in front, 14-13.
No, he's not.
He has. According to the stats, the official stats, Opta stats, he's 14-13 in front. He's having a big glug of water. How good did that feel, John?
Really felt as good as that meal you keep promising for Christmas.
Let's get back to the phone lines on the Radio City Legends. Next up, we're talking Everton with Gary in Kirby. Hello, Gary.
All right, lads. You all right?
Hello, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was a great result and a great performance. I want to sort of delve into the detail a bit, Graham, to be honest with you. I mean, I made up for Tom Davies, but I think Ross's performance yesterday was overshadowed by Tom, quite rightly so, because Ross done a lot of work and Tom, you know, actually played brilliant. But I think they complement each other then too, you know, because obviously Ross likes to pick pockets of players, you know, take the ball and do them little passes, and Tom's obviously aggressive and a bit more in your face and a bit more sort of emphatic in what he does, you know what I mean? So I think that brought the best out in Ross yesterday with Tom, because I do think they complement each other. And you've got to have put a balance in the midfield where you need an aggressive player and someone who can do them little pick the pockets and put them balls. And I think that worked pretty well today, yesterday with Everton.
Yeah, I think, you know, the two of them, Gareth Barry and Tom in there, you know, gives Ross a little bit more of a licence to go forward. And as you quite rightly said, pick the pot. I would say to Ross to study David Silva. You know what I think? Just to watch him and where he ends up. You know, he's always on the ball. He picks pockets of space all over the place. He wasn't as influential when it came to like scoring goals and making goals yesterday. But I tell you what, he's a prime example of how to play in that little role that Ross wants to play in. But I agree with Gary that Tom Davies and Gareth Barry, you know, whether it be Tom Davies and Schneidlin now or McCarthy or whoever, those kind of midfield players will give Ross more of a licence to get forward.
Is it going to take the pressure off?
It may well do.
Yeah. Ross gets criticised for a lot of things that he tries to do, but see, Ross's passes, he always tries to get someone in. I mean, a lot of midfield players just do the little nice pass, gives it back, but Ross tries to do them passing, you know, through the eye of an eagle, and sometimes they don't come off and you give the ball away and you get a lot of criticism, you know what I mean? Yeah. But one thing that I've seen yesterday, I mean, I don't think you'll see it much, but after Tom's goal, I've seen Leighton Baines, Ross and Tom Davis all together, and they're like West Derby, Waverley and Kirby. I don't think you'll see that much.
No.
And Everton team, you might see it ever again. No, yeah. You won't see it in the Liverpool team.
No, Gary, it was good, and for the two young boys to come, the young boy Lukman to come on and score as well, we'll do him the world of good. I think for him, I felt sorry. He came on for the last, say, 8 minutes, and for 5 minutes he didn't get a kick, and he was running around, and he looked like a little boy. But yeah. I tell you what, the chance he got, his touch was good, and he finished really, really well. So, there's promise there as well. Everybody I've spoke to with regard to him, say that what a really good footballer he is. So we've got high hopes of him as well. So it's looking good.
Well, to be honest with you, Graham, that's what I was going to lead on to. Like, I think we're probably in the position where we probably will probably finish seventh. Mm. Look at the league table now, them six.
Yeah.
We've got bigger squads, better players.
Yeah.
I'd be quite happy with seventh. But if we could consolidate seventh, get to the last sort of 7 or 8 games of the season, we're going to be finishing down the seventh. I'd like Koeman to give the likes of Kieran Dowd a chance and John Joe Kenny, and say to them, go on, he's going to play the last 5 games now, and maybe a lad called Liam Walsh, give them a run, because they've got potential, and maybe with the investment coming out, it might be the right time for them, because obviously there's money obviously rules to roost now. So maybe the last 5 or 6 games, he just relaxes them and says, go on, I'm going to play you. So the last 3 games, 5 games, he's going to play no matter what, and see what we get out of them. Because I think they've got good potential of coming through them, lads.
Yeah, Gary, good shout. Whether that happens or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I just think nowadays with the Premier League and, the position and the points and everything else, to play them all just for the sake of just playing them, I think, as any manager do, if the kids show enough promise, as Tom Davis has had to be patient, these kids will have to be patient as well, and if they are good enough and they're showing up in the under-21s, and Unzi, who's a good judge, will push them forward and push them into the manager's thoughts and say, listen, these kids deserve a chance now. So Unzi's got a big part of that as well.
Nice one, Gary. Thank you very much indeed. Brilliant points. Let's get a final caller in. John, you haven't reflected on this Matip news. Let's bring Peter in, who's in Whiston, Big Red.
Yeah.
Just a thought, first of all. So Liverpool don't know what to do with Matip in the sense that FIFA could actually punish them if they play him. Mm. But if they do, they might just gamble and play him anyway against Plymouth. What would you do?
Well, I don't know how intricate the situation is, but it sounds like me that the manager of the team now is got to be in his bonnet, so he's playing hardball. But that's not the way to do it.
You mean the Cameroon team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the way to do, because he'll lose him for good now, whereas beforehand he was contemplating coming back in the team somewhere in the future, because his gripe was with a previous manager. So for what he's doing to Matip now, he might as well just leave off it and try and wait till after the tournament and invite him back in. He might come back in then, but now the way it is now, he's lost him for good. That's why I'm. But I would anyway. I'm sure I wouldn't. If they treat me like that and not let me play, you'd say, well, on your way then. I won't do nothing.
It looks madness.
I think if Liverpool play him and go against them, I think they should be fined at least 25 points.
Let's talk with Peter. Peter, what do you want to talk about?
I'll talk about Matip if you want.
Go on, Peter.
I think that if Joel Matip couldn't play, we'd have known by now, because I think he stated when he signed for us, he said there's no way that he'll be going to the African Cup of Nations, didn't he?
That's right, he did. He stated that early in the season, didn't he, that he'd retired, yeah.
Yeah, and also I read today that he did say in 2015 that he was going to retire, well, he had retired, and that was it, he was done with Cameroon. So I think that once he'd stated when he signed that he wouldn't go in January, if anything going to happen, he would have said, listen, if you don't go, you'll get suspended, you'll be able to play for your club side.
Yeah.
But I think Liverpool should go and play him, because they've done nothing wrong.
It's just technicality, and you've got to make sure. Yeah. I'm sure Liverpool got all the lawyers looking at the situation,
course,
as well.
Yeah.
To make sure nothing can come untoward towards it. But yeah, he needs the games. We need him in the team. He's done really well for us, Peter. He commands things at the back. He's cool, calm, collective, and he needs to play at Plymouth.
But it's his choice.
It's
his choice. If he doesn't want to play, you can't make him go.
Absolutely.
If he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's made the choice. And I don't know what they're saying and what they're worried about. The boy has had the choice. They want him to play. He's turned around and said, I'm not playing. I don't want to go. Yeah. That's his. Yeah, it's his right to see whether he wants to go.
No, the club can't get into the situation. So, it's him himself.
I think they're worried about maybe once the African Cup of Nations go, he says, "Oh, I've changed my mind, I'll go back." But no, yeah, he's made this decision now. And listen, if he makes a decision and he can't go back, so be it. Yeah, if he wants to. This is always my argument, Peter, about club against country. And my big thing is clubs pay your wages, they want you playing. I know it's prestige to go and play with your country, but for me, he should be able to play.
We'll get Peter back on Thursday night. Quarter to... what am I on about? I've got the time wrong. 23 minutes past seven. We're back on Thursday.